The 100 Years' War, the interim period between the Battle of Poitiers and the Du Guesclin period, the collapse of the Paris Revolt, Part 2, and the death of Étienne Marcel. Well, Étienne Marcel returned to Paris to try and appease his people, but he completely failed to take the measure of their fury. His following drained away before his eyes. Men hurled abuse at him in the streets. They began to gather around the Louvre, baying for the blood of the English whom he was protecting there. A faction of prominent citizens decided to put an end to the provost's tottering regime. Their leader was a man called Jean Millard, a rich draper who had once been among Marcel's closest confederates. He gathered around him in secret a group of prominent citizens, including several of Marcel's former allies and at least three of Marcel's relatives. Their motives were straightforward. Paris was out of control. The city was effectively under siege by both the Dauphin and the King of Navarre. Supplies of food had stopped, and stocks were low. The city was even cut off from the suburban windmills which ground its grain. The conspirators knew that Philip of Navarre was on his way with fresh troops and might arrive at any time. They believed that unless Paris made peace with the Dauphin, it would shortly be sacked by the soldiers of the King of Navarre. They sent a message into the Dauphin's camp inviting him to enter the city to restore order. They offered to open the gates to his men. Marcel was well aware of these covert contacts. At least one letter between the Dauphin and the plotters was intercepted and laid before him. In desperation, he decided to take control of the city with the aid of the army of the King of Navarre before the Dauphin was admitted to the capital. On July the 27th, 1358, in defiance of the mob leaders, Marcel released the English prisoners from the Louvre to rejoin their fellows at Saint-Denis. They were escorted past the sullen crowd by an enormous guard of men-at-arms and crossbowmen with drawn bows. Then he arranged with the King of Navarre that he and his friends would take over the guard of one of the gates and admit the Anglo-Navarrese army by night. The chains would be removed from the street corners to allow them to pass rapidly through the city. Lists would be prepared of prominent enemies to be murdered in the first hours. According to Jean de Vette, the plan was to proclaim Charles Navarre King of France. In the last few days of July, troops poured into Saint-Denis and the encampments around it. James Pipe brought up the rest of his men from Éperon. The English soldiers at St. Cloyd joined them. The first companies of Philip of Navarre's approaching army arrived. The coup was fixed for the night of Tuesday, July the 31st, 1358. On the Tuesday morning, Paris was alive with rumors. During the night, the houses of men listed for assassination had been marked out with paint. The guards had been changed on some of the city gates and the keys removed. A huge demonstration was organized by the anti-Marcel factions. The crowds crammed into the market of Les Halles. They turned quickly to violence. They began to attack known supporters of the King of Navarre. Led by two confederates of Millard's, lynch mobs invaded the mansion of Josserin de Mâcon, the King of Navarre's treasurer, which was by the Church of St. Eustace. Josserin had fled. He was closeted with the provost of the merchants and a handful of his closest associates. It began to look as if Marcel and his friend had balked. They believed that without swift action, their enemies could open the gates to the Dauphin before he could let in the English and the Navarrese. Towards the middle of the morning, the mob at Les Halles, deprived of their prey, began to drift towards Rue de Saint-Denis, towards the Place de Grève. Marcel made for the northern gates of the city. He was accompanied by Josserin de Mâcon, a few close associates, and about 50 armed horsemen, some of them in full armor with helmets. Without warning, they appeared at Port Saint-Denis. The sector controlled by Jean Millard and Millard's men were still in control of it. Marcel confronted the gatekeepers. The garrison of the bastion, he said, was too large. It ought to be reduced. He ordered them to deliver up to the keys to Josserin de Mâcon. The gatekeepers refused. In the midst of the altercation, Millard himself arrived. He told Marcel that the keys would not be surrendered. Then, cutting short the dispute, Marcel and his companions remounted and escaped as fast as they could towards Port Saint-Antoine in the east of the city. Millard rode down the Rue de Saint-Denis to find help. As he went, he shouted out the war cries of the King of France, "Monjour Saint-Denis!" The cry passed through the spreading mob as it was taken up by one group after another. The head of the mob had by now reached the Place de Grève. In the town hall, they found the banner of the Dauphin's arms. Then with the banner held aloft before them, they pressed through the narrow lanes of the Grieve Quarter to cut off the provost of the merchants. Port Saint Antoine was a large fortified gate on the east end of the city, which opened onto the old Roman road to Melun. It stood just west of what is now the Church of Saint Paul Saint Louis in the Rue Saint Antoine. In the mid-14th century, when the Bastille was yet unbuilt and most of the Marais was still a marsh, it was one of the principal entrances into Paris. The gateway had been put in the hands of partisans of the King of Navarre, but they were no more willing to surrender possession to Marcel than Millard's men had been at Port Saint Denis. They were indistinctly informed about what was happening and suspected a counterplot. Marcel pretended that the guard needed to be changed. They demanded to know why. He told them that he had letters of authority from the King of Navarre. They asked to see them. Voices were raised. The mob was already appearing through the streets behind them. Marcel and his companions tried to break out of their corner, but they were hopelessly outnumbered. The first bands of men fell on the provost's escort and butchered them. Someone raised a sword high above the crowd and brought it crashing down on Marcel's head. Outside the Porte des Saints Anges stood the Church of St. Catherine de Val de Écoliers, which belonged to the Augustinian friars. It was a place where the bodies of the marshals had been taken in February, which was now destined to receive the bodies of their murderers. The remains of Marcel and one of his companions were retrieved from the carnage from the crowd, stripped naked, and spread out on the steps in front of the church, there where they were left unburied in the summer heat for several days. So, Marcel fails, but we still have a situation where we have the mob and we have the King of Navarre on the other end. So we'll see how this finishes next time in our final part on the collapse of the Paris Revolt. Now the sources for this, the Hundred Years' War by Nylands, the Hundred Years' War by Perrois, and the Hundred Years' War Volume 2, Trial by Fire by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.